Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Acts chapter 3, verse 21 is where we have been speaking generally from. That is what tells us that certain prophecies in the Old Testament must be restored or fulfilled before Jesus Christ can be released to come. Now, today we want to look at the restoration of abundant finances to the church. And we will look at the necessary steps we need to take in order to position ourselves for abundant finances. One of God's prophetic words spoken by prophets in the Old Testament is for his people to overcome the enemy of the church that is called poverty. So we want to read two texts, one from Genesis chapter 45. Genesis 45. Genesis is the most prophetic book in the Bible. So we read verse 22 of Genesis 45. To all of them, as to the brothers of Joseph, Joseph gave each man changes of raiment. So he gave to the 11 changes of raiment, or should I say the 10. But to his brothers, changes of raiment. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver. He didn't give money to the rest of the brothers, but he gave to Benjamin 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. That's wonderful. Now, Isaiah, you read Isaiah chapter 60. The reason I love Isaiah is that the Bible describes him as a bold prophet. You know, some people have the word of God, but they are not bold about it. So they speak it and they are afraid and things like that, but not Isaiah. Isaiah is very bold. So look at the things that he says. Isaiah 60 verse 5. Then shall you see, here's a prophecy for the church. Then shall you see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea, that's talking about wealth, shall be converted unto thee. The forces or the wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. Look at verse 11. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. In other words, you will open up your gates. The gates of the church shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the listening of his word. Amen. So we have said already that Benjamin is a type of the last day church that will exist before the full reception of God's kingdom on this earth. Now, unlike the older brothers, who we have said represents the history of the church, Benjamin is not just clothed with the fivefold giftings. Benjamin, or the last day church, is not just clothed with the fivefold giftings or anointing, Ephesians 4, but Benjamin is graciously giving much money, 300 pieces of silver, by Jesus. That's wonderful. He does it just by grace. And Joseph, who is a type of Jesus, gave unto Benjamin his backbone, born after him, like the church is born after Jesus. Joseph gives to Benjamin 300 pieces of silver at a time that there is economic difficulty in the whole world. At a time of financial crisis in the world, Joseph, who was the second in command in Egypt. The Bible says in the book of Psalm that Pharaoh gave him second place, like Jesus has got second place with God. Pharaoh gave him second place. And Psalm says to bind his princes at his pleasure. The princes is referring to the children of Pharaoh. So Joseph comes out of prison and Pharaoh says that, you see these boys, these my children, you can bind them at your pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. That was the extent of the strength of Joseph, that he could discipline the princes at his pleasure and teach the senators of Egypt, the superpower at the time, teach them wisdom. It's powerful. But I want us to just see that the old church, the brothers of Joseph, they didn't have much finances as was graciously given to the last day church. The Bible really has got much to say about finances. If you read Isaiah also in our second text, you will see that God says that there is coming such wealth upon the church that our hearts will fear. Ha! Huh. Wow! Says the abundance of the sea. That's talking about fish. Fish in the Bible sometimes stands for prosperity, plenty. So the abundance of the sea, prosperity, the wealth of the nations are going to come to the church. And the Bible says that our gate is talking about the fish gate, Nehemiah 3:3. The fish gate, the prosperity gate is going to be opened to the church. And there will be a pouring in of sea, like a tsunami, abundance, that we will shudder. At the level of prosperity God wants to bring to his church, so that one of the enemies of the church, known as poverty, will be under our feet before Jesus Christ will come. Yeah. Say, sit at my right hand. Don't come yet until I put all your enemies, not one enemy, all your enemies under your feet before you be released to come. It's exciting right there. Now, because the Bible has got much to say about money and finances, we can also talk about it. Yeah, we can talk about it. Do you know why the Bible has got so much to say about finances? It is because finances is spiritual. Money is spiritual. Money is spiritual. Please put it at the back of your mind. Money is a spiritual thing. Jesus Christ was the one who made us to understand that money is not what you see. Money is spiritual. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6 verse 24, Jesus said that money can rival God. Says you cannot serve God and Mammon. Mammon is deified, personified riches. It was Jesus who deified and personified riches, that you can worship Mammon or worship God, but you can't serve two masters. So right there, Jesus Christ pitched money against God as a rival. If anything is your rival, what it means is that that thing has got your characteristics. That is why it can rival you. Oh yeah. If the thing hasn't got your characteristic, it cannot be your rival. But because it can substitute you or replace you, the thing becomes your rival. So Jesus taught us that money was God's rival. In other words, money can control you instead of God controlling you. Money can turn you into a puppet. Coleco. That's old-time cartoons. Ah, these children now, they watch cartoons which are fast. But we used to watch cartoons, I mean, if they are walking from just some 2, maybe 3 inches, you see that the people will be shaking all over. It will take them a long time to. And you see strings. And sometimes, occasionally, you see some wood and a hand, and they will try, the editing didn't go well. So sometimes we see those things. Money can control you so much instead of God controlling. So you must learn from God what the Bible has said, how you can control money. Because money can teach you even the friends to keep. Money can even go to the extent of showing you how to laugh and what to do and what not to do. You forget that you are led by God. Now it is Mammon who is leading you, because you have the power, money power. Okay. So money is God's rival. That means that he has some characteristics of God. One characteristic that the Bible teaches is that money is spiritual, like God is a spirit. Money is also a spirit. Okay. And money is a very complicated thing. Money is many-sided. If you study the scripture, you see that it has got, it's like God, many-sided. Sometimes it's difficult to really understand money properly. Don't you have problems understanding money? Oh yeah. It's a difficult subject. So, money has got power. Power, like God has got power. Money has got power and complication. Money is a complicated machine. And you can only operate it when you learn in practice how to handle it. See, you can learn so many things about God, but you must walk with him to know him. And that's how money also behaves. You can have all the theories about money, but you must learn practically to control money in your hand. Have you seen one of those machines that polish the floor? It cuts the terrazzo, you know, and then afterwards it polishes the floor. It puts something under and then they are jerking the thing around and all that. I stayed in a place where they were cutting terrazzo when we got married at first. I mean, the workers, they will pass around, I mean, whistling in and out of our room. We were with them because we had to stay there, and they were cutting terrazzo whilst we were there. And then afterwards, they will polish the thing. You see, the machine that they use to do it, if you see them doing it, you will think that you can do it. Oh yeah, I tried it once and I gave up. Because you think that you can move the machine the way that they are whistling and moving the machine. If you go and handle it, you'll see that because you do not know how to handle, you don't know the rhythm of the machine. The machine has got some rhythm. So by practice, you learn how to use its rhythm to move it around. When its power has jerked, you don't try to control it then. There is a rhythm that you use to control the machine. And that is how powerful money is. So, we must get money to serve us. We must get this complicated machine to serve us and not us serving it. We must control it and not it controlling us. Because money is a complicated machine, anybody who wants to operate a complicated machine learns how to do it, like an aircraft. Because it's complicated, you must learn how to operate the aircraft. You just can't sit inside and then fly it, like one of those book cartoons. You know Tintin. There is this one where the twins, Thompson with a P and Thompson without a P. You don't know Tintin. Okay. But these were Interpol soldiers, policemen, and they were after a criminal or something. So they saw this pilot with a private plane. He was kind of servicing and all that. And so Thompson P and Thompson without a P said that the pilot should get into the cockpit and he should take them somewhere. He says that, it's a national security or something like that, emergency, he should fly. The pilot says, I don't know really how to handle. He says that I'm commanding you. The other one says, to be precise, fly. So this pilot got into the cockpit and then flew these two men. At a certain point, they wanted to come down. So they told him that, okay, now land the thing. The pilot told them that, I told you I don't know how to handle, I don't know how to land. Said, I'm commanding you that you should land the thing by all means. Because it had run out of fuel. In the end, they had to do a false landing. But that is how complicated machines behave. You must learn how to operate it. You see?
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Money being a complicated machine, you must learn how to handle it. Now, I want us to understand that God's order of provision is first the natural and then the supernatural. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that. First the natural, that's God's order of provision, providing leadership to the humanity. He brings the first Adam or the natural Adam before he brings the spiritual Adam, Jesus Christ. He brings natural Israel before he brings the spiritual Israel, the church. That's God's order of provision. So we must understand that before supernatural provisions that have been prophesied about that the church is going to receive, before the supernatural provision comes, we must be masters of the natural way of obtaining the provisions of God. There was a time that I asked the Lord that, Lord, why is it that I don't see your supernatural provisions? Supernatural provisions, like I take a fish and I take a coin out of his mouth. That's supernatural. That's powerful right there. You are short of money. Go and sink a hook and then open the mouth. You see money there. And that is how Jesus Christ solved some of his financial problems. So I said, why is it that I don't see your supernatural moves like that? This is what the Lord told me. He said that, I want you to master the natural first. Because first, the natural way of God providing. You must be a master of the natural before the supernatural will come. Because when the supernatural comes, supernatural provisions, miraculous provisions of God comes, you will need a foundation of the natural skills. In order to be able to handle the supernatural miraculous provision. As the Bible even says that our heart will fear. Because the wealth of the nations is coming over to us. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. So I want to encourage you that pass the natural before the supernatural. The natural should be a foundation. Natural way of obtaining God's provision. You must master that one so that when the supernatural comes, you will be able to handle it. Look at Genesis 13, verse 14 and 17. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are. Please underline, look from the place where you are. Lift up your eyes, look from the place where you are. And I want to encourage all of us to do that. God told Abraham, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. If where you are right now, you are in financial debts, look from that place, away from financial debts. Says that look from the place where you are. Maybe now you do not have a job. Look from the place where you are. Don't look at the joblessness, but be able to lift up your eyes and see with your spiritual eyes the place where God has promised for you. And that is what the church must do. We must look. Maybe you do not have education. Look from the place where you are. That is what God told Abraham. Look from the place where you are. You have only one Ghana cedis. Look from the place where you are. Don't look at what you have right now, but look from the place where you are. Northward and southward and eastward and westward. In other words, he was telling Abraham, from the place where you are, I don't care how bad the place is, but look from that place and see possibilities. See that the things that God has promised us is possible by the cross, because the north and the south and the east and the west, it forms the cross. By the cross, everything that God has promised us in the word of God is possible. There is a promised land for the church. The promised land for the church is the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelations. According as you see what God has promised, you are going to receive it. And that is what I want you to do. Let us lift up our eyes from where we are. We may be in financial difficulties, but we want to see possibilities by the cross of Jesus. That activates the word of the Lord, the word of prosperity, that makes God's word of financial well-being possible unto us. God's promises must be translated from something that we hear to something that we see. Oh yeah. God promised Abraham what he saw from God's word, which is the promised land. He promised Abraham, what you see is what I am going to give to you. So we have to convert the scriptures from what we hear to seeing, because it is what we see that has been promised by God unto us. And that is really the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit turns the scriptures into pictures for us to see, so that we can believe. Because what you see, you will naturally believe. Now, so we put it this way, seeing is believing. Yeah. So what you see, you will naturally believe. That is why faith was defined with visual imagery. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. You get a visual imagery. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The evidence of things not seen, not heard or not tasted. Faith was defined with a visual imagery. Because what you see is what God will give to you. We have to move the word of God from something that we hear to something that we see. A promise is talking about something that you hear, but a covenant is talking about something that you see. The word of God must move from a promise to a covenant. How does he do that? A promise is one way. God promises something to you. So somebody says something to you. But the thing, the promise must be turned into a covenant by you mixing, agreeing with it, so that God will do it. Because God is bound to do His covenant. I'm taking my time to teach you this because financial well-being is not a promise. It is a covenant. It is something that you must see. It is something that must move from hearing to seeing. Not seeing with physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes, so that the deaf who cannot hear this message with the ear can still see it. And when he sees it, God is bound to perform his side of the covenant. So a covenant is a promise which is mixed with the faith of the receiver. There is an agreement. When God promises and you see the promise, he agrees to do it. Hallelujah. So doing well is a covenant. It is something that you must see. It is something that God told Abraham, see. See it with your eyes. And look at verse 17. Arise, walk through the land. And please underline walk. Walk through the land. Says that what you have seen, take some steps. Take steps that will make me give you what you can see. So faith is not just something that we have inside of us. We see with our eyes of faith. Faith means that we must take some steps. Says that walk through the land in the breadth of it, in the length of it, for I will give it unto you. Walking involves taking some steps. Steps that will make God give you the land. So I'm going to share with us some natural steps. You are going to walk through the land promised to the church, the land of financial abundance. We are going to walk through it. These are steps in cultivating finances. And they are natural steps because we must be masters of the natural financial farming skills. Financial cultivating skills. Three of them. Number one, have a compelling reason for cultivating finances. That's our subject, cultivating finances. Have a compelling reason or a compelling motive for cultivating finances. You know, there are some animals who are very difficult to farm. There are some plants which are also very difficult to farm. Some of them, they are difficult to cultivate because they are weak and they are easily vulnerable. So it's difficult to cultivate them. Some of them too, they are stubborn. Some animals are stubborn. They are not easy to control. It's difficult to farm them or cultivate them. There are some also plants which have a long gestation period. In other words, it will take 8 years for it to bear, like Shenard. Is it Shenard? One of these plants in the north. What is it? Hey, it's not Shenard. No, it's not shea butter. But one of these plants, no. But you see, it takes a very long time, 8 years, before it begins to bear fruit. That's shea nut. The tree here. It takes 8 years. All right. So you plant it and you always almost become an old man before you see the fruits coming out. You know? And there are some animals and plants too that is difficult to cultivate because they attract predators. When you start to farm chicken, you see that snakes will be coming around. So if you are not ready to deal with snakes, then you don't farm chicks or something like that. Not so, Pastor Theo. It's true. Even in your house, you try to come for some of the eggs and the birds and things like that, you know. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, in the name of Jesus Christ, that money is a very difficult thing to cultivate. Money is all this. Money attacks predators. Money has a long gestation period before it begins to bear fruit. So you must be strong, and money is very stubborn. Like that machine for polishing, I was telling you that it can control you. Money is very stubborn. So you must have a compelling reason. Strong reason. In fact, the stronger your reason for cultivating finances, the better. Because anything without a strong reason for doing becomes difficult. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether the thing is easy or not. Once you don't have a strong reason for doing something, the thing becomes boring, difficult. But with a strong, compelling reason, anything is easy.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.